You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome, everybody, to tonight's live broadcast of TPC. It is Saturday, September the 7th. Happy birthday, Dad. My dad's birthday is today. He just came through a pretty serious surgery and is on the mend back at home. I have taken my show on the road tonight. We are live in Alabama this hot September evening, and we have just wrapped up the 2019 League of the South National Conference, a great event, great camaraderie, great fellowship, and you'll be happy to know, and I want you to know, right out of the gates tonight, you don't have anything else to worry about. As Al is our witness here, you have nothing to worry about. Last night, yours truly, along with my good friends and fellow compatriots, Dr. David Duke and Dr. Kevin McDonald, we shared a bottle of wine and we solved all the world's problems, and it only took about 2 hours, and it's done. Our work is finished.
I just did a courtesy sip of it.
Yes, Well, in any event, I'll tell you what, the fellowship was robust. We did write out a pretty good prescription. It's just the implementation is going to be a little tricky, but we'll see what we can get with that. But it is great to be with y'all tonight, live from Alabama. We have taken the show on the road. So let me tell you what tonight's broadcast is going to be like, a little bit different than our standard fare. Keith Alexander is out tonight as we are broadcasting live from Alabama. We'll be joined throughout tonight's three-hour journey by special friends and invited guests, beginning with the aforementioned son of the South, the pride of Louisiana, David Duke. David just wrapped up his keynote speech, the second of two addresses he gave to this particular conference less than an hour ago, already here at our remote location, ready to do some radio. David, great to have be with you again. Great to have you back on the air as well.
Great to be with you. So
great, and happy birthday to your dad. The fact that you're doing such great work for our people, our cause, and really the lineage and the values of your folks is the greatest testimony and the greatest gift you could give your father, and I know he appreciates that, and he has a lot to take credit for in having a son like you, so happy birthday to him.
Well, thank you so much for that. That's very, very special to hear you say that, and of course, we're all family here, and I do feel as though that my friends in this struggle are like family, and certainly the people that were with us today at the gathering are like family. It's as close. I was talking with Eddie Miller, who of course we both know well, a moment ago, and he was talking about a Confederate who was asked why they fight so ferociously, or why they fought so ferociously, and the answer was, because y'all are down here. And I don't know who exactly said that, but as the people that we were with today and the people that we're with at some of these gatherings in the South are about as close as you can get to that spirit. And it's always, truly a very spiritual thing to be amongst such compatriots. So we had a lot of fun down here last year when we did this broadcast from Alabama and the League of the South National Conference, and we're doing it again tonight. It's amazing what technology affords you. And so just with a few basic pieces of equipment, we can broadcast remotely from the road just as easily as we can do it from our home studio back up in Tennessee. And so that's what we're going to do tonight. David, where'd you like to start tonight?
Well, I tell you what, every speaker and every writer likes to get a takeaway from his friends to see if, I guess, they got the same points, or if he explained his points properly, the main points of the talks. And so I'd like to ask you as a question, what do you think, what was the biggest takeaways you got from my two talks? I did one on health and fitness and the second really on why I believe that our destiny is to win the battle for our heritage and future.
Well, I'll tell you, and last year she wasn't here, but my wife has come down this year, and of course she's here with us in the room right now. And she and I are both, I can tell you, very eager to learn more about what you put out with regards to health and fitness. And you had got me on a fitness regimen last year, and she is someone who likes to eat well and stay in shape. So a lot of the things, she's actually more knowledgeable on some of this stuff than I am on that particular field. So a lot of the things you said in that first address, which was focused on health and fitness, is something that resonated. I watched her listening attentively to that. And we have to have a balanced life. Mind, body, and soul are part of that continuum, as you mentioned. So I think that was some practical advice. I mean, when you're talking about, well, what can we do to take back what's been lost to reclaim America's destiny? Well, certainly if it was just as easy as saying it, well, we would have already done it and the battle would be over. But there are things that we can apply to our daily lives that everyone can do. And you said to be a capable warrior, you have to be a healthy warrior. So that was something. And you gave us some prescriptions on how to do that. And then, of course, the second talk, the keynote address, the final address to close out the conference was with your usual vigor and passion and always full of truth. And that is something that so many people today aren't willing to tell.
Yeah, well, I agree with that. I mean, that's what I was trying to get over. I mean, and the fitness, I guess the main takeaway is that the revolution really does begin with us. And the fitter we are, the more cognizant we are, the better our faculties, the better our health, the longer our lives, the more we can do for the cause. And it's really essential. And I guess the second takeaway of that, I think, is very important to understand. A lot of people listening to your show, they come to the show originally because of the fact you defend the South and you defend the rights and the heritage of Europeans, all people actually, because you believe in true human rights. You're not trying to take away the rights of other people around the world. You're not supporting any of these foreign wars. You've been very strong against those. But you're for, you know, basically the preservation of your own rights and really the right everybody to be left alone, have a society that reflects their own values and culture and heritage, and that's a human right. So it's really vital, I think, to understand that when people come to us politically, right, they learn about the racial question, they learn about the fact that there's a demographic crisis in this country, that unrestrained immigration will be an existential threat to us, a political threat, social threat, a rights threat. They'll take away our guns, they'll take away our freedoms. We already have a really tyrannical election system based completely on money. A lot of people, they never really stop to think that there's a lot of other things they've lied to us about. And they really have lied to us about how to live. They promote drugs to our kids constantly in the movies. It's really cool to use drugs and marijuana and all that. They have promoted prescription drugs. They've got millions of kids, millions and millions of kids on Ritalin, which is nothing more than meth, amphetamine, right? They've drowned our kids in violence and blood and sadism. Pornography is seeping into everything.
And I mean, sugar, that was another thing you talked about, sugar being more addictive than cocaine, and now it's making more people.
Right, yeah, and our diets. I mean, there's no question that, you know, I made a real point in the program, in my speech today, to point out, and in fact, I had the people, I do the three stand-up thing. Mm-hmm. And I learned that from another doctor I saw him on a medical convention use this, and so I gave him credit the last time. Not this time, but people can look at I did give him credit. But I asked everybody to stand up, and then I said, okay, now try to sort each other out and try to get one-third of the people, raise your hand, one-third of your people, and one-third of the people raise your hand, and sit down.
Well, hold on. We're coming to a break. It's the only reason. You don't have a headset on. I can hear the music. You can't.
Okay.
Well, we'll finish the story when we come back. More with David Duke and more from other speakers and attendees at the 2019 League of the South Conference. We're live in Alabama tonight, and we're just getting started. 3 hours of this coming your way. Stay tuned, folks.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused border agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, 4 grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved 4 checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text FIGHT to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. DefendAPatriot.com.
press 1. To change your message, press 7.
Hey, Mom, Dad, Mark here. Wow, I love college, really. I never knew living on my own could be so, good for me.
To change your message, press 7.
So, here I am at college. It's cool. Well, of course, it's only been a week.
To change your message.
Hey, it's me. I was just remembering that time I hit my first home run, you know, through the garage window. Thanks for not being mad. No.
To change.
Hi. Boy, I miss you guys. I miss my room. I miss waking up to warm socks straight from the dryer. Warm socks?
Family. Isn't it about time?
Hi, it's Mark. Love you guys. I'll call you later.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. As a teenager, I gave my first public speech in my church. My hand shook, my heart pounded. I thought to myself, I can't do this, but somehow I did, and because I wanted to talk about things that were important, I persisted. I chided my church as a senior in high school for not seeming to care about the not yet born, for looking the other way, and for not taking a stand on life.
I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard.
One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Always love the opportunity to get out on the road and to attend a conference and then broadcast live from it. We did it a couple of months ago in June at the Nationalist Solutions Conference at Montgomery Bell State Park in Tennessee. Tonight we're down in southern Alabama with God's people, and it's the League of the South National Conference. Some of the speakers today included, of course, yours truly and Dr. Duke, but in addition to that, Kevin McDonald, Michael Hill, Rick Tyler, and others, and all of them are scheduled to be on tonight's live broadcast of TPC from the event before the evening concludes. But getting back with my good friend and yours, David Duke, one of the recurring themes today was balance and living a life in which mind, body, and soul are interconnected, living healthy lives, living faith-based lives, family lives, but also one that is full of activism and honor. And, of course, unable to do that, we need to live healthy lives. And that was one of the things your talk centered on. I want to pick up, because we told the audience we would, on the point you were making just a moment ago. But essentially, we were talking during the commercial break that it's hard to argue. We're talking about some of the titans of our past and these men of destiny that shaped the Western world, and comparing them to the majority of men today. And we were wondering, you know, is it something in the food, in the diet, in the supplements, and the additives being put into food that have made white men so docile and so passive? And you were saying
marijuana does that too, and they've really promoted marijuana, and every movie is promoted, even for kids, even for young people. Every movie, the cool kids are all smoking dope. And we know that when marijuana is ingested by kids in their young teens, you know, that it absolutely negatively affects the development of the brain. You can look at brain scans and see their brains different, and it all absolutely makes them more passive, you know, actually can cause more passivity at the same time, once occasional very strange, you know, violence and stuff.
Well,
it's really weird, but we do see a change in the brain from the normal brain development, and it's not good. But what I was saying was, I did this, it's a great metaphor. So I asked one third to sit down, and I told them, I said, well, guess what? According to statistics today, according to reality in America today, you're going to die
of diabetes. And so the people are looking around like, oh, wow. And then I said, okay, now the other group, divide yourself in half. So another third sit down. So one third down. And he said, you're gonna die of heart disease. Okay. And then so then the last people are up standing up. And I said, okay, you can sit down. You're going to die of cancer. And that's all true. I mean, we have pandemic diseases today, but they're not communicable. You know, in old communicable diseases like smallpox or for that matter, from parasites like yellow fever, malaria, perfect example, a huge killer. And but today, I mean, you don't spread cancer by breathing on them. You don't spread diabetes by breathing on somebody, or communicable disease, or a mosquito biting you. You don't make heart disease that way. These are all diseases that are determined by our lifestyle, our diet, our habits, how much we sleep, all these other factors, how much sunlight we get, how much, you know, all these many factors. And we have the first time in history right now, well, the first time in recent history anyway, for the last 100 years, where the lifespan is actually getting shorter. Not only is it going down in years in the Western world right now, but it's also causing, sometimes they can extend life a little bit, but the quality of life is horrible. The Alzheimer's disease and, you know, the diabetes and the crippling and all that's terrible.
Well, here's the question. You gave two talks. Why did you deem it as important to talk about health and fitness as much so as political solutions and things we should be doing to apply ourselves in activism?
Because the revolution begins with you individually, your ability. You know, it's one thing to know the truth, but if you're not vigorous, if you're not intelligent, if your mind's not working well, if you're getting diseased and sick and tired and all the rest of it, if you're having mental problems, and that also is affected by diet because your mind is part of your physical body, that seems like a no-brainer, but it's true. I mean, the reason why people have mental illness is probably because they're not healthy in their body, and that affects the brain, including a lot of the sugars we eat, the insulin resistance that takes place, the toxic foods that we eat, and also diet and habits like this, you know, this incredible, insane policies we have about how people are not getting sleep. In 1942, we got at least an hour to an hour and a half more sleep, the average person, a night. And we didn't have diabetes that was in epidemic proportions. We didn't have heart disease, anything like it is today.
And we had bigger testicles. I learned that today.
Yes, we did have. The truth is that if you deprive people of sleep, guys that get less than 6 hours of sleep, and that's over half the population, by the way. Over half of men get less than 6 hours of sleep. They have significantly smaller testicles than men that get 7 to 8 hours of sleep.
I'm glad me and you sleep 12 hours a night.
Well, whatever. I wish I did. You get older, it's harder and harder. That's why you got to work on creating the environment to get good sleep. But sleep is so important. So we want you in the struggle for the long haul. We want you to be cognizant. We want you to be healthy. And the healthier you are, the greater war you are. Those guys that fought at Thermopylae, we love their courage, right? They went against the Persians, you know, the most powerful army in the world, and Leonidas led them. But it wasn't just about Leonidas. If Leonidas didn't have healthy guys who were super fit, every single one of them, courageous and fit and strong and skilled in their abilities, he couldn't have made the stand, the 300 stand at Thermopylae.
Well, and it's more than that. I mean, you're certainly right in what you say, but I think, I mean, look at marketing. I mean, just look at this practically speaking. You need, the sizzle is sometimes as important as the steak. You need attractive, well-fit, well-adapted, intelligent people. If all of our people, if all of our spokesmen for our ideas are slovenly, semi-literate individuals, then it's just not going, it's hard enough to sell it, even though we have every bit of truth and common sense and decency on our side. But we certainly need to make sure that our packaging is well presented too.
For a man to be muscular and strong and fit is a great thing, and men want to be that way naturally, and women want to be attractive. Women spend trillions of dollars a year in this country on cosmetics and every kind of buying these expensive dresses or shoes, but that doesn't make the difference. It doesn't matter what a woman wears. It doesn't matter what a guy wears. What makes a man handsome and attractive is not the clothes he wears or the car he drives. It's the health and vigor and power of his body.
And his confidence.
And right, and that goes right along with it. So, and this is a great way. A lot of people are very not disciplined in this country. A lot of men are raised by their mothers, frankly, and so they're not getting that fatherly influence. And also, society teaches men to be a bunch of cucks and weak and so forth. And so, when a man is trying to discipline himself and trying to transform himself into what his ideals are, when he sees those heroes in the movie, you know, the fight and struggle, when he does that, the best way to start that off is by building your body, which is simple. You can always do it. It's not sorcery. When I was a young, skinny kid, you know, of 19 years old, I didn't believe. I tried a few weight programs. I tried and tried and just couldn't gain the weight and muscle I wanted. Finally, I met a guy who really knew how to do it, the proper way to do it, and now people know a lot more about it. And, man, in 3 months, I transformed myself. Amazing. I gained 30 pounds of muscle. I mean, I was a tall guy. I guess at that time I was about 6 foot, about the same, 6'2", about 165 pounds. I was skinny. I was kind of a tough guy. I did a lot of running and that kind of thing, wrestling. I was in a few fights and people picked on me or something. But you know what? In literally 100 days, I added about 30 pounds, and almost all of it was muscle. I couldn't pinch a quarter of an inch in my
body. You had to be svelte a little bit because you were swimming with the alligators down there in New Orleans. You told me that story, right?
Well,
the
yeah.
Water moccasins.
Well, we were those kids. You know, that's what you – when you're a kid, you want to be heroic, and you do some things that maybe you should think better of. And also, there wasn't the alligator attacks like you have today, by the way. I think it's the toxins in the water that are affecting the alligators.
Those cottonmouths, though, could still get you. Hey, we got to take a break. David Duke's going to be back with us intermittently tonight. We've got Kevin McDonald on deck now. David will be back with us. We don't know what we're going to get into tonight. It depends on who shows up, really. This show is going to be left to the Lord's good providence. We'll see.
I'll join you in about an hour, and I'll look forward to getting a little discussion with a few of the people.
There you go.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Officials in North Carolina say search and rescue teams are going door to door checking on people who may be trapped or hurt after Hurricane Dorian swamped Ocracoke Island with floodwaters. Emergency officials have flown or shipped fuel trucks, generators, and food and water to the island. Governor Roy Cooper.
Hurricane Dorian has left North Carolina, and now the cleanup begins. We have about 45,000 people who are still without power.
At least two storm-related deaths were reported. The hurricane caused massive destruction in the Bahamas, and international help is coming in. O'Neill Cosa is CEO of Bahamas Paradise Cruise Line, which is taking storm refugees to Florida.
They needed help. We gave them the help, but we're not done. I mean, this is the tip of the iceberg.
The Category 1 hurricane is now heading to Nova Scotia. This is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
President Trump is planning to divert more than $3.5 billion that Congress had appropriated for military projects and use it to build a wall along the Mexican border. Florida Democratic Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
The president wants to swipe billions from approved military projects just to fulfill a foolish campaign promise. A broken promise, remember, because U.S. taxpayers, not Mexico, will be paying for this monstrosity.
The president says immigrants coming across the southern border constitutes a national emergency. At least three South Koreans have been killed as Typhoon Lingling made landfall, bringing heavy rains and strong winds that caused hundreds of accidents throughout the nation. One woman was knocked over by strong winds. A bus driver was crushed to death after a wall at a hospital collapsed, and another man died when a roof panel hit him in the head. Trees were knocked down, flights were canceled, and over 100,000 homes are left without electricity. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, folks, it's so good to be with you tonight, and we're happy to be with you. From Alabama, I'm James Edwards, and as TPC rolls on this evening, we are in the aftermath, just really a few minutes removed from the League of the South 2019 annual conference. And you know that I spoke, and you know that David Duke spoke. Another gentleman and good friend, longtime friend, who addressed the audience this weekend was Dr. Kevin McDonald. And he's here with us now for the remainder of the hour. And we're going to continue to talk to people who were at the conference, spoke at the conference, attended the conference for the remainder of the show. But right now we go to the esteemed Dr. McDonald. Kevin, thanks for coming by.
I always enjoy it, James, as you know. Always enjoy it. And glad to be here.
Well, I one of the things that we did at the conference was, of course, make available to the attendees the hardback edition of Cultural Insurrections, one of your magnum opuses, but also the most recent edition of the Occidental Quarterly. Now, this is the fall 2019 TOQ, and I just want to mention this very quickly because as soon as I looked at the cover, it sprang to mind. Each of the individuals who have articles in this installment have been recent guests on TOQ Live, our joint YouTube collaboration.
Yeah, yeah.
Andrew Fraser, Ricardo Duquesne, Brent Sanderson, Andrew Joyce, Roger Devlin, and of course you, Dr. McDonald.
Yeah,
so that's a heck of a
it's an
issue
all-star
right
group, I tell you. It really is. It's a great issue, you know.
And of course, we've had a lot of fun doing the YouTube show. I think we're about 10 months in now. We got named on the ADL's hit list, and YouTube took action against several of those shows. God forbid we have free speech or anything like that,
right,
where the truth is told in love. We didn't quite get axed, but we did get reprimanded a little bit. I think they arbitrarily pulled a couple of installments.
Well, I think it was particularly hard-hitting installments, factually based. And then, frankly, they were about Jewish influence, probably. That was the thing that got it.
You know, it's interesting that, well, how is it put? The truth is hate to those who hate the truth or something like that. But, there's no cause for violence. There's no calls for
we're
even.
We're trying to be accurate about history and what's happened here. I mean, that's all we're trying to do.
If you cannot objectively criticize someone
or even
a group of people that share similar traits. I mean, what is this?
Yeah.
But it's interesting, and of course the irony in all of the evils we were told about book burnings. Well, this is a digital book burning, so to speak.
That's what it is.
They certainly don't seem to have any qualms with that. But the work continues, and I learned. I think actually you had mentioned it not too long ago, but I was reminded of the fact tonight. And this is big news, folks. This is truly big news because I think you told me that this is a basically a culmination of your life's work. You are in the final stages of another book.
That's right.
What can you tell us about that?
It's called Individualism and the Western Liberal Tradition. And the subtitle is Evolutionary Origins, History, and Prospects for the Future. It's about individualism. It's about us, basically, and about this sort of liberal tradition that really has a long history and has been very important, thinking about even things like the Civil War. I have a big section on that. In the final section, I talk about prospects for the future. Frankly, individualism, I don't think, has much of a future if things keep going the way they are. Multiculturalism is going to be the death of individualism. We're all starting to coalesce in our identity groups. There's more and more social conflict between groups. There's more coercion, things like censorship and everything else. All these traditional freedoms of the West, the First Amendment, I think the First Amendment will be a casualty if someone like Hillary Clinton or Elizabeth Warren or Biden, whoever, if there's a next liberal president, gets a couple Supreme Court appointments, that's the end of that. So that sort of liberal tradition of human rights, the Enlightenment rights, were part of that. But what we're seeing now is the advent of a police state, and it's going to be anti-individualistic. I think we're seeing whites coalesce more and more in groups that are identity-based in some way. Even the Republican Party is silly as it is, or as ineffective as it is basically a white person's party. And there are a lot of other communities like that among white people. But it's been a very important part of our history, this liberal tradition.
Well, when Kevin McDonald writes a book, as you know, that is a big deal. You think Culture of Critique, Cultural Insurrections, this new book, which you tell me is an epic. I mean, you're talking 500-plus pages. You say this goes back to even your earliest years.
Yeah, I mean, it's been part of my academic life since the 1980s. That's where I started out, really. I started talking about marriage in Western Europe. Wrote a bunch of papers. And then, in the 90s, I got into the idea of Judaism as a group evolutionary strategy. But I never stopped really writing things relevant to that. And then after that was over, and I started contributing to Occidental Quarterly in around 2000, 2002, I started continuing that, writing articles on the Puritans, about the Transcendentalists, which are a philosophical movement in the 19th century, which really epitomizes liberal tradition. These are the people that were the intellectual elite during the period prior to the Civil War. They had this idea that slavery was evil. And so a big part of the book is that white people tend to establish moral communities. We don't establish communities like they do in Africa or the Middle East or other areas based on kinship. We establish communities based on moral ideas and ideals. And unfortunately, a lot of those ideals have been destructive, and especially in the present age, because essentially what we have now is a moral community of the left, where anybody who identifies as white and sees whites as having interests as whites is seen as the epitome of evil. That's a moral community. And if you violate those ideas, those strictures, you will be ostracized, you will be vilified, you may lose your job, you can lose your family, everything else. So that's the sad reality that we're up against. We have to we really have to build our own moral communities, and we have to realize that what we're doing has a strong moral base. And if we don't do this, we really are going to be powerless against this thing.
Kevin, I know that the book is not quite yet finished, so obviously hasn't been quite yet published, but can you give our audience a tentative timeline as to when this may become available? Because I can tell you, when it is available, we're going to plug it hard, we're going to make it a fundraising incentive, we're going to go all in to help you move some units of this.
Well, that'd be great if you could promote it, James. It's a very important show, and my ambition is to get it out in a couple of weeks, frankly.
We are that near completion.
Yeah, we're that near, and I finished the table of contents. I finished the, the formatting is almost finished now. I just have to do a little bit of an index. I'm not going to do a really heavyweight index, but it's ready to go, basically.
So Santa Claus could be putting this in some stockings for folks.
Definitely, definitely.
There you go. You get,
for Halloween, I hope.
Oh, really? Oh, the trick's on us. The treat is ours, I guess I should say. Yeah. So that's coming up from Kevin McDonald. Hopefully not your final book. Hopefully
well,
you have decades left in you. But
one never knows. But, it's sort of a culmination because I really, It goes together with the Culture of Critique and then sort of the two bookends. On one hand, you have Jewish influence, but on the other hand, you have our proclivities towards this long liberal tradition, this sense of building moral communities, which we have done in the past, but now the present moral communities basically been constructed as a result of Jewish influence.
So, again, available imminently, not quite yet, but any day now, and we want you to get a copy. Kevin, give us the title of that book again.
It's called Individualism and the Western Liberal Tradition, Evolutionary Roots. I think it's Evolutionary Origins, History, and Prospects for the Future.
All right. The latest from the great Kevin MacDonald. And I just want to say we're coming up on a break any second now, and then we have one more segment with Dr. MacDonald, who is standing not 2 feet from me here as we broadcast remotely from Alabama tonight. And I just want to say to you, Kevin, you've come on this show so many times over the years. Of course, we've broken bread many times at different events and conferences over the years. But I just feel such a kinship with other people who continue to do the work. And with you, you know, continuing to surge forward with this latest title, you continue to do the work. It is just a real privilege to share a friendship with you and to be involved in the struggle with you.
Well, I tell you, I think persistence is a big part of the ballgame. You know, a lot of people come and go, but what we have to do is keep hanging in there.
Well, you have definitely been doing a lot, an awful lot of hanging on, and we're all the better for it. Much more than hanging on, thriving and continuing to put out premium content. We'll be right back, folks, with Kevin MacDonald.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Kosher. Certified. Put the two words together to get co-certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying shh? Let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified. Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this. The Co-Certified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities, and it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC, not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, well, you heard from David Duke, the top half of this hour. He will be back with us later in the show. Dr. Kevin MacDonald with us for the bottom half of this hour as we continue to procure and put on the air tonight interesting individuals, accomplished individuals who have been with us this weekend in Alabama. And let's talk about that for a second, Kevin, if we can. Changing pace just momentarily, we were just talking about some of the good eating we've done this weekend with the league grilling out. I mean, we had some cookouts. We had some good food, some Southern barbecue, hamburgers, hot dogs. Have you been privy to any Southern hospitality?
Yes, I have.
And what can you tell us about it?
First time in my life I've had fried green tomatoes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I had
some
purple hull peas.
Where'd you go eat?
We went down at, what is it, Jim's? It was down 10 miles away or something. It was quite a place, yeah.
Okay. So, but you've run into some, sure enough, true Southerners.
True Southern hospitality and cuisine, yes, absolutely.
Well, good.
Yeah, it's been different. I've heard about fried green tomatoes forever. I never had them. They're quite good.
We fry everything down here. We fry Oreo cookies. That's the truth. I go to any
deep fried Oreos. I gotta try that.
We do it. We fry anything. If you can put batter on it, we can fry it for you.
All right.
That's a true thing. Go to any county fair in the South, or hell, half the restaurants, you can get those deep fried Oreos. Anyway.
Are you kidding or not?
Well, maybe not half the restaurant, but they're not a
really
uncommon thing.
Oh, my God.
Let me tell you, I love them.
All right. Oreos, I'm drawing the line there. Oreos. No. Fried green tomatoes, okay. No.
You
no,
come
no.
to my house.
No fried Oreos. I'm sorry.
You've never had one. That's all you're telling me.
All right.
Now, let me tell you something. You come to my house, and we'll walk to a restaurant that does that, and you'll never stop eating them.
All right. I have an open mind. You know that.
That's right. But, okay, so, well, let's talk. Let's shift gears here just for a moment with one more segment remaining with the incomparable Dr. McDonald. We were talking. Kevin rode back with me from the event today. He rode with me in my car, and we were talking a little bit about conventional politics or contemporary politics and what's going on with the Democratic slate and their debates. And basically the whole thing is, you know, Trump's a terrorist. Trump's a white supremacist terror leader. And our platform is to promise everything to everybody. If you can get here, it's going to be free health care, jobs. It's going to be free college. And everything else, anything you can dream. We're going to retrofit every building to be environmental friendly, whatever that means. I mean, what's going on as we continue to see things escalate and evolve quite rapidly? Where do we stand right now this evening, September 7th of the current year?
Wow, it's like these candidates are competing with each other, and they seem to be, you know,
it's like the whole Democratic slate seems to be like a parody from The Onion.
Yeah, from The Onion, and they're being as left as they can, because that's apparently what the activists want. I'm not sure all the base wants that. I mean, I've heard some people say that you know, that this is not my party anymore. But it's very different from back in 2016 with Hillary Clinton, because she didn't have to compete with anybody, really. They sort of shut out Bernie, and you know, she was the odds-on favorite from the beginning. But now they all have to compete with each other. They've asked them these things, legal or illegal. I mean, imagine that.
That's what you were talking about in the car.
I know. It's just unbelievable. The idea that you could walk over the border and it's not a crime.
And not only is it not a crime, you're going to be you're going to be open to all the gays you can imagine.
Welfare, medical care, college tuition, everything, and then you can vote pretty soon. They'll get you a path to citizenship. It's just insane, and I just can't believe this. This is a majority opinion in this country yet. I mean, yeah, if they get there, if they keep importing this new electorate, and eventually those ideas will probably be if they are allowed to
right.
do so.
But certainly not there yet, even when you factor in the guilty white liberals and the pathologically altruistic, I mean, and those seeking incentives and those wanting to virtue signal and all of that. No way is it anywhere close to a consensus, but it is interesting that is the competition in the Democratic primary. Who can promise and pander the most to the other
Right.
And who can denounce white supremacy, whatever that is, and white nationalism? I mean, now, again, we've been talking about, I think I've mentioned it every show for the last month, but, you know, with the president now, it's gone so far where now even the president is being liable as a white supremacist terror leader. I mean, anything goes now, Kevin.
Anything goes. And you know, I think Elizabeth Warren, Pocahontas, said that if she gets elected president, she's going to somehow ban, quote, white supremacism. That's the mood. I mean, that's what I'm concerned about in the future. They're really clamping down.
Well, and this is the thing, because white supremacists really don't exist. I mean, the way that normal people perceive white supremacists as this, you know, this marauding band of hate-filled people. They really don't exist. At least I've never met one.
No, I've never
And so what they have to do in order to invent them is to talk about thoughtful, credentialed academics such as yourself or family men, radio hosts such as myself, and that is who passes now, or the president of the United States, for God's sake, as a white supremacist. They really have to manufacture them because they don't exist in the sense that you would have perhaps believed some decades ago. And so when the point is this, when Elizabeth Warren, Kamala Harris, Cory Booker, et al. Say, we're going to target white nationalism, the day one when I get elected, we're going to go after these people. What are they talking about? They're not talking about truly violent, irrational people. They're talking about any normal white man who has spoken out at all on any of these things, has taken his own side in any debate, has offered any dissent to the madness, the true lunacy that we see coming out of media in the Democratic primary. Those are your white supremacists.
Those are the white supremacists. But it's just another one of those words. The people on the left are just really good with words. I mean, white supremacist. And they manage to tar everybody, no matter, you know, how rational you are, how fact-based you are, how nonviolent you are, whatever, you are a, quote, white supremacist.
It's an ever-expanding term, too, to encompass more and more people.
It's like white privilege and things like affirmative action. All these things are code words for various discrimination and real hate towards white people.
Well, you actually bring up something about white privilege. That was something David said earlier today about the people down in New Orleans in the early 1800s. You know, it was white immigrants being paid 10 cents a day to go and dig trenches. They were dying of malaria. And the reason it was white people doing it is because slaves were too valuable to put to that work. So they just paid white people 10 cents a day to go
white
out and dig these holes
yeah.
and dies. And, you know, but, of course, what is the privilege? The privilege to be accosted?
Right. And, you know, there are a lot of white people who are very difficult, tough jobs, are not paid much, and that's not just in the 19th century. That's right now. You think about people who are waiting tables, and we see that. And one interesting thing about this part of Alabama, you see a lot of service workers who are white. They're not getting rich. They have no white privilege. Come on.
And what is privilege? You know, I've said this in previous talks. What is privilege except for coming from a line of people who were responsible enough to provide for you?
Right.
So what I mean by that is if my parents and my grandparents worked themselves to the bone to give an inheritance to their children, is that white privilege because you had responsible parents? Is that something we should be ashamed of? That our genetic line going back many generations were, you know, worked hard and saved to pass on to the next generation, which is what I want to do as a father, which is what I'm trying to do as a father. I want to leave something to my I certainly want to leave a good example, an example of a man who stood up and fought for what he believed to be right. But I certainly want to leave some monetary assets, a paid off home, a car, a little bit of money to my wife and children. Is that privilege that we're responsible?
It's come to that. It's, certainly, you know, it's like, what, if you're a white person, you're somehow privileged. And that's just one of those mantras now. And they're off the rails. I mean, I do think that Trump, you know, the campaign commercials for the Republicans are just writing themselves. All they have to do is show this on TV. And I don't think there's a majority of Americans, even in 2020, that are going to go for these things.
Well, you know, I agree with you. I think if Trump continues, he hasn't done much, we know, but his rhetoric has been generally good. I think they knocked him off a little bit. I said this recently. They knocked him a little off balance after El Paso, where he kind of denounced this nebulous white supremacy. We don't even know what this guy was all about that shot him up. But in any event, if Trump continues to double down as he has done as the candidate, then you're right. But if they have cowed him a little bit, and it'll remain to be seen. It'll remain to be seen if he, you know, censures his audiences like John McCain did.
Yeah.
You know, if they get a little unruly and send her back or send her back or whatever. We'll see. But if Trump sticks to the kind of campaign style he had in 2016, you're right. They've given him a lot more ammunition than he had before.
Yeah. This hatred of Trump is just absolutely obsessive. You read the Twitter feeds and some of the liberal left media, and it's just never ending. I think they're like House of Representatives doing like 40 different investigations, trying to find some way to impeach him. The whole Russia, treason hoax is evaporated. So they're going after everything under the sun. I saw a list of it today. It's unbelievable. Just everything. We'll see. But they're really trying to plant the idea in voters that this man is incompetent, evil, he's enriching himself, he's whatever.
Be that as it may, it's either going to be Donald Trump or one of the Democrats, most likely, God, unless divine intervention intervenes, as the president. And we talked about the fact that if he wins, perhaps the Democrats will even go more off the rails. That'd be hard to do, but it's possible. But it's going to be between the two of them. Let's go with Trump for 4 more years. What the hell? Anyway, Kevin, great to have you tonight. Man. We'll talk to you again.
I enjoyed it.